Let's find a seat. It's a great privilege to be here. It's always nice to come to Marshall Bay, George, because me and my wife, we always come to have some holiday as well. It's nice to see the sea and to experience holiday. So it always makes it just so tremendous to share some time with you guys, as it's good memories as well. I got the job this weekend to look after Paul's rabbits. So there at our house, we at Paul's house, we are busy feeding the rabbits and also having some nice resting time, as he and his wife is at Andres, eh? Is it in Andres? Also spending some off time this weekend. Thank you again for coming. I'm from Stellenbosch, as you've heard. I'm part of the HQ team, the headquarters of Shofar, just ministering to the other churches, not the Stellenbosch Church, and also involved with the MTP program, coordinating the MTP program, which is our ministry training program for people that goes into the full-time ministry. We've got a finishing course for 6 months that we do, so that we can finish people off before they go into the ministry. And I know Trevor here in Mossel Bay is going in July as well, and we are looking forward to have him there as well. I enjoyed his heart this morning as well. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. I'm really just experiencing tonight, we must be honest with one another in just talking about what the kingdom is about. And what Paul spoke about when he addressed the churches, and when he wanted to duplicate his heart. Now, let's just pray before we start. Father, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus for open hearts tonight, Father, that is willing to just lay their lives down for you. Thank you, Father God, for George and what you are busy establishing here, Father God. We know that this is something, Father God, that you are establishing, and Father, we ask that you will just kindle the little flame to become a felt fire. And Father, we pray that you will guide us as a church to follow your heart, not to do our own thing, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to speak about Paul's life tonight. I've been speaking about this at a few Shofar churches, and I think the worship team, you'll be hearing it for the second time tonight, after hearing it this morning as well in Mossel Bay. But I want to speak about Paul's life and just the tremendous impact that Paul had in the universal church. The fact that he established the universal church beyond Rome, beyond Jerusalem, and that he went to Rome later on, but he established something that was even tradition at that time. And we know that that he changed the whole thinking of Rome. Later on, Christianity became a state empire in itself. But Paul was a man that had a great impact in the church, and he went about into Asia planting churches. And he was thinking beyond Jerusalem, while the other apostles was busy. Establishing the church in Jerusalem and beyond in Samaria. Paul went to Asia, and I want to especially speak about his life because he got a few things right with the Lord. And Paul's life fascinates me because of his contribution toward the universal church, but also because of what happened at the Damascus Road and the fact that his life was transformed in such a way that he understood the gospel and that he understood what he had to duplicate when he went about to plant churches. And he was born in Tarsus. We know Tarsus was also the place that Jonah went to when he ran away from God's calling. He was a Jewish and a Roman citizen. Now, this is important to know about Paul, because Paul, in being a Jew and at the age of 13, he got the training of a Pharisee, and for years he went through training, and later on he was basically going after Christians, but we know about Paul's life that he was very dedicated to the teaching of the Jews at that time. But he was a Roman citizen because of a great contribution toward Rome. Now, this is important because it was probably his parents. We know that getting Roman citizenship was at that stage very difficult. You either had to stay in Italy, the area of Rome and at that time, or you had to really do a great thing for Rome and for the Roman Empire. So his parents was quite influential probably. And then we know about Paul that that he, as he went about in going after the Christians, he had the Damascus Road experience. Now at this experience, we know that Jesus himself imparted something in Paul's life that he could take beyond himself and impart into people's lives. Now I want to just read 1 Corinthians 4 verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, imitate me. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now, I first thought, you know, Paul was so arrogant in saying that people should imitate him. This is very important because Paul said to the people that he ministered to, imitate me as I imitate Christ. There was something that Paul wanted them to understand about his ministry, telling them that it's not about me, but everything that you see about my life that duplicates Jesus Christ, that you must follow. The things that I have and the transformation that I've received, if you can see Jesus within me, follow Jesus. And Paul was basically saying, listen, please do not follow Paul. Follow Jesus within me. I want to say to you, Church of God, tonight, you must realize it and you must catch this. Because so many times we want to duplicate ourselves and people. We want to do the things the way that we are doing it. And we want people as disciples of ourselves to become like we are, rather than to duplicate Jesus within our lives. If you want to follow anyone and imitate any Christian, make sure that you don't follow their personalities and their character traits, but that you follow Jesus Christ within them. And I see so many times in the Church of God that we don't represent Jesus Christ the right way. We represent Jesus Christ the way in which we've made for ourselves in traditions and systems Jesus to look like to the world. Now, I was just thinking, you know, if somebody would run in here tonight in this church and say, listen, you've parked behind me. I see there's a few cars there at the back. And just say, listen, who stopped behind me? We would have been quite freaked out. Because church for us is such a traditional and such a formal setup. I don't want to say tonight that it's wrong. But I want to say that people, we must understand the heart of God. When Paul came to duplicate not himself but Jesus Christ to the world, he was showing the people and the churches that when Jesus grows within you, you can transform lives. I want to say to you, you know what? So many times we in the Church of God is busy representing the wrong Jesus Christ. Listen to this, Philippians 3 verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Philippians 4 verse 9. The things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And then Paul is basically in Philippians 3 verse 12, busy talking about one of the secrets, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The other day we were sitting in the Paul region, regional HQ visit. And as we were praying, there was quite a hectic word. Somebody brought a word, but a tongue. And I was sitting there, and you know, after about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, nobody brought any interpretation, and we were just praying. And you know, as in any pastor would do, I felt very obliged to bring this word now. I was busy getting so nervous, you know, for this lady that brought the tongue, because I felt this burden to bring this interpretation. And God was just speaking into my heart and saying, relax. It's my kingdom. It's my work. Just be honest in saying that you don't know. And at that stage, I just said, listen, we don't know. So let's just relax in the Lord and wait for interpretation. As we relax, somebody just brought the word, and it was so tremendous to wait on the Lord and to recognize in honesty that we didn't, you know, actually have everything together. I want to say to you, Church of God, so many times we want to have it all together. We want to have the setup here. We want to have the presentations. We want to have everything working so nicely that we miss the heart of God. Paul is saying that he didn't have everything together. Paul was recognizing and saying in all honesty, listen, just be honest in saying that you don't have it all together as a Christian. You are not this mature Christian that you ought to be and that you think that you are. Paul says, I'm falling a lot, but I'm falling forward. And I'm making sure that I put the things that I am doing wrong behind me, and I walk in all honesty and sincerity with the Lord in recognizing that God is doing something special in my life. I want to say to you, you know what? You cannot preach anything that you didn't receive. So many times in the gospel, we want to sit for ourselves in selling the gospel and presenting it to people and telling ourselves that we've got it all together. We don't. It's time for us to come into humility and recognizing that Paul didn't have it all together. So why should we think we've got it all together? Church of God, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have church the way that we are. I'm just saying that so many times we miss the heart of God in coming into sincerity in the presence of God and recognizing. And as we were just worshiping, God was just showing me this Porsche that we so often, you know, try to polish. He's saying to us, just be real. Just come to me, my child, and experience my presence. And this is what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, listen, I don't have it all together. Philippians 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one, and this is very important, I want you to really listen now. Verse 24, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Paul was actually trying to really facilitate the presence of God to the church in Philippian and the Philippian church by telling them, listen, I can send a lot of people to you, but it will be in vain. There's only one guy that understands the heart of God, that is like-minded with the agenda of Jesus Christ. And this is quite a thing to say, because Paul, at this stage, busy planting churches and establishing churches and doing wonderful things for the Lord, even being in jail, I think that if anyone should have been duplicating himself, it should have been Paul. If God, you know, just had a few Pauls on this earth, this world would be transformed. But Paul was busy saying, listen, there's so many people that's serving the gospel, but there's only one that's like-minded, one with the same spirit that understands the heart of God. You know what? Paul understood that Timothy when he sends him, will come back with a report and an agenda, not of his own, but that of Christ Jesus, carrying the Spirit of God, coming with a true assessment of what was happening in Philippian church. And Paul knew he would not serve his own agenda. Paul was not saying that Timothy was exactly the same person than himself. If we look at Paul's life, you know, Paul was quite a forceful guy. He was a guy that set for himself goals, that accomplished, that said a lot of things about the Lord and for the Lord. And he wrote, three-quarters of the New Testament. But you know what? Paul was quite a forceful guy, but this guy, Timothy, was actually not. A lot of the times we read in the Bible about Paul describing Timothy and saying, Timothy, please don't let them despise your youth. He was quite a fearful guy. He was intimidated a lot of the times. And if I think about Timothy as a man, I think about this guy that's not that forceful. That's personality is not really setting goals and transforming lives. But a guy that Paul had to say to, listen, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Timothy, focus. You know what? If we look at the personalities of Paul and of Timothy, it differed a lot. But Paul was saying it's as if the same guy is coming to you. If I send Timothy, it's as if I'm coming myself. Because Paul knew that it was not about his personality and the character traits that Paul had, but because of Jesus Christ and the true and sincere agenda of Jesus in Timothy's life. Church of God, we must understand that it's not the foundations that's going to change our lives. It's not the Bible school that's going to change our lives. It's a blessing. But it's Jesus Christ that's going to change our lives. It's the agenda of Jesus in us and through us and to the people and for the people that is going to transform us and this community in George. Paul understood this. And that's why for Paul it was important that his heart was knitted together with Timothy, but also that the people that duplicated him did not duplicate Paul. The second thing that was important was that he established relationships as he was busy talking about the gospel and establishing the gospel for the kingdom. You can employ men and hire hands to work for you, but you must win their hearts to have them work with you. I like this saying. You can employ men and hire hands to work for you, but you must win their hearts to have them work with you. I so often think about it, you know, when it gets to employing people, we so often expect them to work for us rather than to work with us in changing the society that we live in. You know, Paul was understanding Jesus' heart when he was busy establishing relationships around him. And he was busy partnering where God is busy partnering. You know, I like what Blackaby is saying. Watch to see what God is busy doing and join him. We so often do things that we believe is from God and we expect God to go with us. Paul was saying, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. As I bring the agenda of Christ to this world, follow me. 2 Timothy 4 verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. For he is useful to me for the ministry. I want to quickly explain to you the context of what Paul was speaking about. Paul was saying, listen, Luke, in the gospel and in the kingdom, was busy serving with him. And he says, listen, go and get that guy Mark, John Mark. Make sure that he comes and he joins me so that we can fulfill the ministry together. Now, there was a long road that Paul walked before he could mention something like this. Paul at this stage was sitting in jail, giving orders for the people to go and get Mark. Now, who was Mark? This is very important. And I went through the word and just did some research on Mark's life. Mark at this stage was the son of a well-to-do lady in Jerusalem, an inner house in Jerusalem. A lot of the activities of the New Testament church was busy happening. He was also the nephew of Barnabas. Now, we know the impact that Barnabas had. Now, Barnabas was also the guy that was positive about Paul's life after Paul was transformed through the Damascus experience. He was the one who believed in Paul enough that Paul could go into the ministry, and they actually was commissioned together to do the work of the Lord. Now, Barnabas was then also the nephew of Mark, but we also know of Mark, he was the guy following Peter as Peter was busy preaching. He followed Peter and he was busy writing down all the sermons of Peter in chronological order. Now, this was quite special because Peter himself mentioned, I can give you the scripture in 1 Peter 5 verse 13, Mark my son. He said that Mark was basically as a son in the spirit to him. Also, we know about Mark in Acts 13 verse 13. Let's quickly read there. Now, when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, which was called Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, this was an important experience that Paul had on his first missionary journey to Asia. He took with him Barnabas, and we know that both of them did great work. And as they were going, they had this one guy with them, Mark. Now, Mark was also a guy that could write down everything that happened on this journey. And as they went along, Mark did not complete the journey. Now, there's a lot of things that they've said about Mark and, you know, why he didn't complete the first journey. One of the things they mentioned was the fact that Mark didn't agree with the way that Paul worked together with his nephew, Barnabas. He had a problem with the way in which he addressed Barnabas. But another reason was that he just was longing after his mother in Jerusalem. And at this stage, Mark, we don't know the exact reason, but he didn't finish the first missionary journey. Now, we again then read about him in Acts 15, verse 36. Just follow with me. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Paul wanting to go back to the churches that they have established. Now you must keep this in your mind. Paul, being this goal setter and this guy establishing things, wanted to go back and do a second missionary journey, going around Asia to go and establish those churches. Now he was again just asking his old friend, his old pal, Barnabas, "Listen, let's go again." Now there's something that's not like a year with him. Because Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him. Now I want to read them further on. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now this was quite a contention happening here. We not often think about the implications of Barnabas, Paul, not finishing the second journey together. You know, this in church circles or in the ministry of the Lord, this was quite a hectic thing. This was also the two guys that was commissioned together. This was the guys that believed enough, you know, in one another that they could go and establish churches. Now, Barnabas, and his name was called Son of Encouragement, believed enough in John Mark that John Mark could go with, and he established a lot of great work. If it was not for Barnabas, we would not have seen the fruit of Mark. You know, Mark was quite an extraordinary guy. We don't read a lot about him in the New Testament, but let me tell you, this guy was the one who established the Alexandria church, which from there on basically served the whole of Africa, and we know that the Alexandria church did great work for the Lord and for the mission of Christ. Mark was also the one who wrote the first of the synoptic gospels, which was Mark, Luke, and Matthew. The three of them being established in chronological order, basically the same. And all of them were written in the same order than Mark's gospel. 65 after Christ died, Peter died. But you know what? After Peter died, the first gospel came to the world, the one of Mark, the one that really transformed lives. Until today, we experience the gospel of Mark as it was written from the sermons of Peter, the guy who called Mark his son. Now, you know, if it was for Paul, Paul missed it with God so often as well. You know what? At the end of Paul's ministry, or close to the end, we see Philippians 3, as I've read it earlier on. He said, let that guy Mark come and join us in the ministry team. He was mature enough to recognize God was busy establishing something special in Mark's life. Now I want to say to you, you know what? What is so precious to me is that so often we in the church even miss God altogether. We've got these standards and thinking, you know, if people go through the foundations and they do the Bible school, they do the discipleship courses and they are the cell leaders, and then they are fit for the kingdom of God. And we so often think that, you know what, if they are part of the church, they're going to do great things for God. You know what? God is at this time busy establishing his kingdom even beyond the church. I want to say it with great respect, because I love the church of God and I love it with a passion. That's why I'm part of the church. But you know what? Jesus is building his kingdom. He's building his church, and he's passionately, you know, in love with his church. We should give the church back to Jesus. I want to say to you tonight, you know what? When Paul went around, he realized one thing. God, I'm not looking for standards and ways in which Christianity should be said about. I'm looking for the Spirit of God. I'm looking for Christ's mind. I'm looking for Christ's likeness. You know what? I'm so excited about what the Lord is doing in this time that we are living. God is not just using shofar. God is not using the charismatic movement. God is not using the traditional movement. God is using everyone that is willing to partner with him to establish the kingdom. That was his heart from the beginning. Everyone that would obey and experience the heart, the Father heart of God, would be able to go and duplicate that in other people's lives. We came to a place in church circles even that we made the gospel so difficult for ourselves. We came to a point that, you know, we so often try to portray church and Christianity as a difficult thing to do. Jesus was just saying, listen, why are you living? You're living to portray the heart of the Father. You and I are here on earth to experience a true relationship with God the Father. That's why Jesus died. Jesus did not come to this earth to establish any structure or system or standard for the people of God to follow. He brought the heart of God to the people. You know what? That is what excites me about this last days, is the fact that I can see Jesus is becoming real, not just in the church, but our young people are just calling out and screaming out, let's just be real. I love what is happening even in TV circles, that I can see that there's real TV. People running around just taking everyday footage and put it on television, because I can see that the world is searching for the truth. They are not searching for the answers that we so often would like to give them. They are searching after the heart of God. And we, as the church of God, must just become real about facilitating the heart of God. The third thing that Paul understood is he remained connected. He remained connected to what God called him to. What a mature guy. At the end of Paul's life, he said, listen, I've established everything that God called me to. So I can go back to Jerusalem, even though I know that there's going to be difficult times and that they're going to arrest me and that they're going to take me to jail. I don't worry, because I know I've been establishing the kingdom ever since I've given my heart to the Lord and walking the road with him. And he said, listen, I know my time is over here on earth. This is quite mature. I don't know about you, but I don't know when my time is finished yet. Because I'm still discovering what God has in store for my life. You know what? There's a few people that went into the presence of God and understood, and John himself was one of those people that he mentioned even in the Word at the end of his ministry, that knew that it was time to go home. He understood the heart of God. Ephesians 4 verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Paul was speaking about the fivefold ministry. He says some will be moving in the anointing of apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist. I'm missing one. Teacher. Is that the teacher among us? But you know what? Paul was busy speaking about the fivefold ministry and the anointing to fulfill the work of God. But he was saying to them, listen, we so often focus on the fivefold ministry and the giftings and the way in which we can bless the kingdom. But what is actually important is the joints that keeps everything together. And for us, it's important tonight to realize that, you know, our gifting in isolation means zero to the church of God, means zero to the kingdom of God. We need to understand that we are just fulfilling a bit. I've seen this so often, you know, people and movements and great men of God rising up and fall, rising up and fall, because they don't understand this principle that Paul understood. That Paul himself was just fulfilling a part of the ministry of God. He was just busy establishing something that God has called him to. But he also understood what he was not called to do. Now I want to say to you tonight, you know what? We in the kingdom must receive the heart of Christ, and we must understand what Paul is saying when he talks about the fivefold ministry and saying that we need synergy. We need to understand, and I want to just quickly read this to you, the effect of two different components, this is synergy, or people coming together to accomplish something that neither of them could have established or accomplished alone. That the church and the way in which Jesus Christ has called his church and his kingdom is not in a ministry, in a person, but in the fulfilling of the fivefold ministry and in fulfilling it together. That the body will function together and that the joints will keep it together. You know, we must pray that God will restore his church, that he will restore his people to understand that one is not better than the other, but that we need one another to establish and to strengthen his body. You know, Jesus understood this when he chose his team. I just love to, from time to time, just go through the list of people that Jesus called and then just think about their profiles. Just the way in which Jesus called each one of them with a purpose. But you know what? Jesus called quite a crazy bunch of guys. They had different personalities, and they often, I think, you know, had a lot of quarrels, talking about politics and, establishing the kingdom, and some of them even wanted thrones here on earth. And two of the guys in Jesus' group were zealots. Now, we know about the zealots that they are like Hamas today, people that were so passionately against the occupation of Rome over Israel, over the Jews. Now, these people, the zealots, they would go against Rome and they would fight against the cause, and they would just say, listen, we don't want Rome to occupy us. We don't want Rome to rule over us. Two of them were zealots. One of the other guys was Matthew, the tax collector. Now, the tax collector was the one that raised money for the kingdom of Rome, that was busy deliberately going against God's people in funding the rule of Rome. Now, this was one of the guys in Jesus' group. Now, I think there was a lot of politics going around in this group, saying, oh, no, Rome is fine. No, 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 we're going to put a few bombs around the soldiers. I think there was a lot of quarreling, but Jesus understood why he called the disciples together. There was something special that Jesus was busy establishing, and I want to read in Mark chapter 3, verse 13, so that you would understand the heart of Jesus when he called them together. And he went up on the mountain, Jesus sitting on the mountain, and called to him those he himself wanted. Those he himself wanted. We know that Jesus Christ called 12 disciples to fulfill the work that that he was meant to do here on earth. And they came to him. Verse 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. You must listen to this. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. Before I read on, you know what? When I was a child, ever since I've given my heart to Jesus Christ at age of 7, I had this sense of calling on my life. I had this, just this dream that I'll be working for the Lord. I'm going to do great things for him. And I'm going to go to the uttermost ends and do great things for Jesus, healing the sick, praying for people. And I soon discovered that that was not why Jesus called me. Listen to this. Then he appointed 12 in verse 14 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. People, we so often miss it. When I read the scripture, I read it over. I went back and I read it over. And I soon realized that Jesus called the 12 not to go to the uttermost ends necessarily, but so that they would be with him. The first cause and the first directives that Jesus had when he was calling them to the mountain and saying, listen, this and this and this is the persons and the people that God has called me to fulfill my ministry. Jesus was calling them to be with him. Now, this is quite special because, you know what? To have friendship with Jesus Christ and fulfill the functions that they would fulfill later on was not as important as the result of the relationship that they had with Jesus Christ. It was the relationship that transformed their lives. It was not the sense of purpose and calling. It was the heart and the presence of Jesus around them. Those hours that Jesus sat around the fire with them, speaking into their lives. The times when Jesus said, listen, you guys, don't look for positions. I will bless you when I get into eternity, but let me tell you, just walk with me. Experience time with me. And then we see at the end of Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 22, verse 28, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestowed upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Jesus shared his heart around the table of communion with the rest of his disciples and saying, listen, because you've spent some time with me, because you partnered with me, I bestow upon you the kingdom that God has called me to. I want to read a final scripture before we stand. You know what? In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we read the result of what Jesus was establishing within his apostles and within the people that followed him. In verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, listen to this. To the world, it was important that they should have had qualifications, that they should have been schooled, and they realized that they were untrained and uneducated men. And then it says, and they realized, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I want to tell you tonight, you know what? We, as a church of God, should understand the heart of God. God did not call us to do great things and go to the uttermost ends. Yes, he did. But you know what? He first called us to be with him. He first called us to understand that when the apostles went into the world, it was not because of their qualifications and the standards being set out. It was because of the fact that they spent time with Jesus. You know what was so special? Jesus rubbed off on them. And they could tell the world, listen, we don't care what your standards are. We are following Jesus. Can we quickly stand? You know what? I've asked this so many times to the Lord. Just, Lord, why? Why do we build church and why do we build kingdom without requiring or inquiring of you what is on your heart? I even want to tonight just repent on behalf of the church. Maybe some of you are standing here tonight and you recognize, listen, I've experienced that in church so many times. Putting a system on me, putting an expectation on me. If I've done the foundations and the Bible school, then I would be okay with Jesus. That is not the qualification that God the Father called us to. I want to be very clear and I want to repent on behalf of the church. You know what? What is the church? What is the bride that Jesus will be coming back to? A bride without any spot or wrinkle, any blemish. A bride that is sincere before God and saying, God, we can only fulfill your kingdom if we recognize that it's not because of us. We're going to do it. We're going to fail you over and over again. But one thing we realize, we've got the Spirit of God within us. And if Jesus transforms us, if we can be known as the people in George that spend some time with Jesus, not because of the knowledge that we have of the Bible and bashing that over people's heads, but the true transformed lives of experiencing intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Father, as we stand before you tonight, I know that you love us enough that you'll not leave us to do the same things over wrongfully, Father God, than in the past. Thank you that tonight as the church, Father, we can say that we've represented you wrong from time to time. But Father God, one thing we do know, that we are stretching ourselves forward in all honesty and sincerity to where you are. And today we ask you, Father God, that George will be a transformed place, because of the time that we've spent with you. Father God, because of the relationship that we have with you and the sincerity of even recognizing before people, we don't have the expectations that the world places on us, because we are not building the church of Jesus. We are just partnering with you, Jesus Christ, because you are building your church. And tonight we invite you, Jesus, into George. We invite you, Jesus, to come and fulfill your rightful place. Not the way that Shofar presents it, or the way that any church can present it here on earth, because we can't. But God, we repent of doing it so wrongfully. But tonight we ask you, Father God, show us your heart. Show us your heart of compassion and love for people around us. Let us not focus, Father God, on the way in which we can, Father, put systems in place to see people transformed, but let us truly introduce people to your Father heart. And tonight I pray in the name of Jesus that you will come and transform us. Let this community, Father God, be known as the people of God. May, Father God, your salt, may your light, Father God, change this community because of people spending time with you. In the name of Jesus. I want to ask the band to just quickly come to the front. We're going to just sing that last song that you've sung. And I want you to sing it out of your hearts. Just allow God tonight just to minister to you. We'll be in front. If you need any ministry, you're welcome to leave as the worship team goes on. But I want to ask you tonight, if you feel the conviction in your heart that you need any ministry from the Lord, just come to the front. You know what? It's not about recognizing that you are doing so many wrong things, or it's just respecting the moment and what God is establishing in and through your life. I want to ask you, we will be praying here in front if you need any prayer. But let's end off in this song and just allow God to bless us tonight with His presence. Amen.